Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Thank you for dreaming with me. This is Robert Moss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is the radio show where we celebrate the power of dreams and visions, of imagination, of synchronicity. We practice real magic, which is the art of bringing gifts from one world into another world. We do that while we play with dreams the right way, catching guidance and energy from the night or from the other realms that we enter in our dreaming selves and bringing something through, taking action from our dreams. We accomplish this in ordinary life when we are alive and awake to the play of symbols and synchronicity around us. Today, one of my favorite people is our guest. She is Carol Davis. She is a Dominican sister. She is a spiritual dreamer of a high order. She is a family counselor. She's an addictions counselor. She helps lots of people in all sorts of ways. She fights against human trafficking. She does a lot of good in our world in a generous spirit, in a heart-centered way. I've known Carol for a very long time. I can't count the years. I'm not going to. But we've shared dreams in many senses. We've done dream work. We've practiced the lightning dream work technique, which Carol helped me to evolve, and some of you know about, the simple four-step process for sharing a dream or a story, getting some non-authoritarian feedback and being guided towards action. But Carol and I have dreamed in an even deeper way. I mean, we've gone on journeys together, gone on journeys to other realms. Sometimes she's come inside one of my dreams and helped me to figure out what's going on. Sometimes I've traveled with her on the road of one of her own dreams. Anyway, welcome, dear Carol.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad you can do this.
If I were to pick a text for today, I would take this line from Jung. It's from his last major published work, which was a long essay called Approaching the Unconscious, in a book called Man and His Symbols, which he was inspired to bring together. It's an anthology, it's a collection of essays, because of a dream. And Jung said this, quote, "It is an age-old fact that God speaks chiefly through dreams and visions," end of quote. I mean, this is right in your face, isn't it? And it's from a man who grew up under the aegis of a depressed and disappointed father who was a Protestant minister who had lost his faith and was just doing a job and didn't seem to have any direct access to sacred sources. So that Jung, early in his life, looking at his father and at the state of the church as he knew it in his corner of Switzerland, concluded that, as he said elsewhere, that organized religion exists mainly to prevent people, to protect people against the direct experience of the sacred. I'm not going to take you into commenting on that directly, because I really want to talk about how we do have a direct way of access to the God we can talk to, or the goddess we can talk to ancient mother, to a deeper and wiser self in our dreams. So I'd like to begin by asking you, Carol dear, to think about some experiences from your life and some experiences that you've worked on with other people that reflect this theme, that dreams are a channel, a direct line to the sacred, and an opening to a deeper source of guidance. Call it the God we can talk to, or call it something else.
Sure. I actually have a fresh dream from last night, which I have not shared with you yet.
Fresh and good?
I'd like to share. Because
okay,
I was thinking about this theme, and I went to sleep last night, and I said, okay, can you give me anything on this topic? And this is what came. I'm in an apple orchard. It is magnificent. Dappled sunlight coming through, and the apples are just abundant. And it turns out that this orchard belongs to Jesus. I was surprised. And you were there, Robert, in my dream. And so we're walking around. I'm looking at them, and there's a beautiful golden tree of golden apples. There's every kind of apple that you can think of. Some of the trees are large, some of them are small. There are even little ladders that have been made out of old apple tree wood that are leaning against some of the trees so people can climb them and pick apples. There's a wonderful section for children to play in and just come and pick apples and run around in the orchard. And then I notice, kind of nestled into one little section of one tree, it looks like a little mini shrine. And so I walk forward. Hey, Robert, I'm saying in the dream. Hey, Robert, look at this. And we go over and look. And Jesus comes over and meets us and says, yes, that's Kuan Yin. Isn't that beautiful? And he's so delighted that there's a little shrine in the middle of his apple orchard to Kuan Yin. And he throws open his arms wide and says to us, enjoy. That's my dream.
What a happy dream. And bless you, Carol, for bringing me into the thick of this yet again. So what do you think? Well, let's do our process, because not everybody's familiar with it, and those who are familiar with it love to hear it practiced. So the first question we ask about any dream is, what are your first feelings coming out of the dream? You sound pretty cheerful.
I woke up smiling and a little bit laughing. I felt peace and a certain content and joy.
So what do you recognize from the dream? Obviously, you have a lifelong relationship with Jesus. He's part of your path, part of your spiritual way. And you keep bringing me closer to him, like it or not, Carol. I must add that. What about Kuan Yin? What about apples? What about the golden color? What about the little ladders?
Oh, I don't know about the little ladders, but I kind of love them, that they look like they would make access to the fruit. I like that. I've been in apple orchards before. I love the light coming through. This was thick and wider and bigger than any orchard I've ever seen. Obviously you and I have been on many adventures together, and I did chuckle because I thought, oh my goodness, here's Jesus. And I'm like, oh well, what can I say? And I love, and Kuan Yin, that, I mean, she's all about compassion and mercy, a bodhisattva, so I recognize that I have long felt that connection to her also. So I loved that. So I recognized that. And children laughing and playing, I didn't recognize them in particular, but I just like the sound of laughter of children.
Yes. Is there something you want to know about the dream? Are you curious about something you don't know already?
Well, I've been walking around thinking about it and just saying, is this about that connection across time and space, the intermingling of various traditions? So I've been thinking about that.
Yes.
I've been thinking maybe I need to reconnect more with Kuan Yin and do a little research.
Yes.
The golden apple tree was interesting.
Yes. Well, if it's my dream, I mean, like you, I'm delighted. I like its universal ecumenical quality. I like the fact that Jesus thinks it's okay to have a shrine to Kuan Yin in his precinct. I like the melding of the ways. I mean, the apple orchard, the apples, I mean, are such an important passage to the other world and to the deeper story in many traditions. I mean, in Celtic tradition, the apple branch, the apple tree is the portal to the other world. And the happy land on the other side is the island of apples. And the golden apples in Celtic tradition might be the golden apples of the sun. They might be the golden apples in the magical apple orchard of Merlin, to which you're invited to bite into an apple and receive a story. But here it's the apple order of Jesus, apple orchard of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love the way the different streams of myth and human dreaming and practice flow together in this beautiful apple orchard. Carol, if it's my dream, I want to bite into one of those apples. I want to have an apple. I would go back inside the dream with the intention of doing that.
Oh, in my waking reality, that's what's going to be one of my actions. I will be having an apple today. You know what else? In the dream, you could smell the fragrance of the apples. You know that?
Yes.
It was sensual. It was beautiful.
I absolutely have to eat an apple as soon as possible, and I'm physically eat the apple and taste the apple, and maybe I'm going to do a meditation rather than a dream reentry journey. As the apple juice streams through me, I will imagine that I'm drinking in some of the goodness of Jesus and Kuan Yin in this magical apple orchard, and maybe a story and a scene is going to develop and burgeon in front of me. So I've got a very clear action plan, and an easy one, an apple a day, if it's my dream.
Oh, thank you, because that just feels richer, a richer action for me. I am absolutely going to do it because I did delight in that dream. Thank you. So that's my
thought. Let's stay with your fresh material, and thank you so much for bringing an apple to this conversation, fresh from the garden of your dreams, Carol. Let me make a couple more observations riffing on your dream that might take us fairly deep into what we're here to talk about. One of them is that your dream reminds me, I won't go into the details now, but it reminds me of a dream that a woman from India had after she consulted me. She was confused because she's of Indian tradition, Indian heritage, born and raised in the United States, but her parents are from India, and her dreams are full of characters and deities and demigods and dancing girls and so on out of Indian mythology, but she's been told by two sources in her life that you don't want to think about any of that, that's old superstition, let it go, because her parents were evangelical Protestant missionaries. They were from India, but they're evangelicals, and they told her that all the deities of India are demons, don't think about them. And then secondly, she'd been trained and was now employed as an aeronautical engineer. And from the point of view of science and technology, you don't want to think about all these mythic entities and gods. So she asked me, but I'm worried, Robert, because I keep dreaming about them. I said, don't worry. Set the intention for a dream to illuminate your question about how you can integrate and live with, you know, the traditions of your heritage in the midst of the other things in your life. And she dreamed, just cut to the chase, that Jesus and Kali in a beautiful maidenly form were together like consorts, like lovers, like man and wife. And she woke from the dream thinking there's fundamentally no problem at beating heart of spirituality if you can ever get there, as in your beautiful dream of the apple orchard of Jesus, where Kuan Yin and her shrine are welcome. But the beating heart of spirituality, we know each other and we know what is right, and we can go there. And the other thing, Carol, is I have a fragment from my own dreams from last night that I'd now like to share with you, because it may be relevant to your dream. I don't remember being in the apple orchard with you or meeting Jesus, but I have a tiny fragment, and perhaps you'd like to work that with me, and as we do so, we can see whether it has some bearing on other aspects of your dream. May we do that?
Please, let's do it.
So I'm in a situation where some mode of healing has been established for people, and it really involves letting them drop to magical and dramatic spaces. It seems as if these spaces are below rather than above. It seems as if they are being allowed to fall, to let their minds fall in a positive, not a negative way, so that whatever their conditions, their personalities, their symptoms, they suddenly, as they take the drop, the gentle drop, into a certain scene, find themselves in a kind of mythic landscape. And from the outside, the spaces that they are being allowed or encouraged to go into don't look like anything much. They look like small rooms. Actually, they look like tiny studio sets with just sort of boxy plywood walls from the outside, but from the inside, these are magical kingdoms. Inside each of these sort of mythic boxes, one for each person according to their symptoms and their personalities, dramas are being played out. I mean, there might be castles, there might be enchanted forests, there might be magical apple orchards. I don't remember an apple orchard, but I certainly remember enchanted landscapes and dragons. There might be dragons, there might be Jesus. So people are being encouraged, pushed in a gentle way to go into one of these mythic boxes, so to speak, which are so much bigger inside than outside, and come back from that with some kind of healing through the power of myth and story. I don't have many more elements, but I was very intrigued as I woke from that dream. So that's my fragment for you.
How did you feel when you woke up?
I felt cheerful, I felt confident, I felt pleased that such a process was going on, so I was in good spirits.
Mm-hmm. Did you recognize anything in the dream that you recognized in your waking life and the rest of your life?
Well, frankly, I relate it to some of my current preoccupations. I'm about to launch a new online course called Living Your Mythic Edge, which is all about helping people to find the story with the power of myth, which might be borrowed from mythology or might come from the personal mythology that dreams and imagination generate and can be a source of healing and power for life. So I do make an association between the general theme of the dream and the general themes I'm working on in terms of introducing people to stories and elements of myth which can heal and empower. But the specifics of it, I'm not sure. I was fascinated by the fact that these boxes from the outside look like you're really rather cheap studio sets, nothing much going on here, but on the inside, it's really working. These sort of gimcrack setups are really producing the mythic dramas that are doing some good for people.
Well, what are you curious about? Do you have a specific question?
Well, I guess I'd like to. I guess I would like to identify more about what is going on here and understand a little better how to facilitate this kind of healing. You have been very good. I don't really have a terribly focused question. I just like more. One of your roles in my life, Karen, when we talk about dreams, has been recurringly to tease more out of me than I initially can tell you or remember. So I'd really like you to have a go at doing that. I'd really like you to put the questions to me and see whether you can tease more out of me than I think I know at the moment.
The space that people are going into, do you recognize anything at all about any of those spaces?
Well, I have many dreams in which I recognize that what's going on in the dream is like a movie set, a stage production. I have very theatrical or stagey dreams in which lead me to say, okay, who's producing this one? And who is it for? Is it for me, or is it for me to help someone else and understand someone else? So I do recognize the stagey, studio set, movie production quality of the dream. It's as if I'm being given a glimpse of how stories and dreams are grown and produced for people who need them. And that's a very interesting theme. I recently wrote a couple of stories about that. There is a book that's about to be published in October. So there's another ordinary reality connection.
So it makes another connection. Do you recognize, are they wearing costumes? Are there colors involved?
I think what's going, it is a very, very tenuous memory, but I think what happens is as people drop, they are going down, but not in a negative sense. They're going below these places that have been found below the surface world rather than above or somewhere else on the level plane of the world. When they go down, I think they are able to become characters in the stories that are being staged. So at that point, they may put on the costumes. There's a very medieval feel about some of these scenes, very much sort of like castles and damsels and flowing robes and knights and lances and pennants and so on. There's a little bit of Camelot or of Merlin about some of these places.
Okay. And when they drop down, is it their mind? Is it their whole body? Their whole self? Do you have a sense of what it is that's dropping down? How they?
Well, it's like one of the folk tales or myths in which you don't say, you know, the dream soul went out. You talk as if the whole body went down. It's as if the whole body goes down into the space and is not separated from the dream soul that we might understand is traveling. In my rational mind, if one can talk rationally about things like this, I think it's their mind or their dream soul that's going down and their body is probably staying in the bed or the room where it is. But in my dream, as in a folk tale or a fairy tale or a myth, it looks as if the whole person is making the drop.
Looks like they're... Yeah. And what's your perspective in the dream? Are you watching this happening?
I'm observing this, but I have the feeling I've also been part of a group that has set up the whole scenario. And I think I'm one of the creating and supervising minds at play in this. But as it's played out, I'm essentially watching it with satisfaction, noticing how well things are working out.
So you're helping to facilitate it in a way? Or?
Yeah, we could say that. I'm looking at the time. We need to bring this to some kind of closure fairly soon because we're going to have to pause for a break.
Okay, we do. All right. If if it's my dream, I want to think about, I think about all the ways I already facilitate healing in people. And I notice that there's something simple. It looks ordinary. It's a small space. It looks ordinary. But when we move in through what appears to be ordinary, we may move into the magical. So it looks simple. It looks ordinary. It looks common every day. And boom, you're into the magical. And that's the lightning dream work. That's the ordinary, quote unquote, ordinary passageways of developing a method that gives people access to wondrous things.
That's very nice, Carol.
And the mythology is, you did connect to in a way, to maybe a little bit of the Merlin, maybe through the dragons, maybe. I know we need to bring this to closure. I would want to journal about this. I would want to step back into that space. I would want to tinker with it a little bit and look at it from different perspectives.
Thank you. We're going to have to pause for a break, unfortunately, but I'll say one last thing as we do that.
Please.
I used to love playing with miniature theaters when I was a boy, and I'd put little figures on and do shows and charge people something to look at it. And I think my way of honoring the dream is going to make not a whole theater, but just to take some cardboard or an empty shoebox or something like that and actually set up something like a miniature theater on my desk, because that will also bring, you know, the qualities of the boy imagineer inside me out to play. So that's my action plan. I'll make some miniature version of the box of myths that I see in the dream.
And I hope you let yourself play with it, too, a little bit.
Yes. All right, okay. We have to pause. We're talking to Carol Davis, wonderful spiritual counselor, wonderful dreamer. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Musk. We'll be back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see lots of new adventures. all over the terrestrial globe. And you'll see also that I am launching, you can listen to a free introductory mini workshop tomorrow, I'm launching a new online course called Living Your Mythic Edge. And the intro call tomorrow is called Consulting Everyday Oracles. This is going to be wonderful fun. We'll play some of our coincidence games and we'll learn to play with synchronicity and let it play with us. Our wonderful guest is Carol Davis. She brought us a fresh dream and I gave her one in return. So you see already what fun and how energizing and enlivening sharing dreams in the right way can be. Let me just pause to explain the technique we're following. In case you're not familiar with it, you can read up on it in some of my books, like my book Active Dreaming. We are practicing what we call the lightning dreamwork technique. I invented it with Carol in the group up on a mountain in the year 2000, and we test flew it. 30 people playing the game, and it's now being taught and practiced all over the world. And it's got four steps. And we realized, of course, in time, it's not only dreams that you can work with this method. It's any kind of story, any kind of material. It gives you a way of going deep rather quickly with anyone who needs to share something, creating a safe space where they know it's okay to talk about what might be sensitive, personal material, get some non-intrusive feedback and be guided towards action. And you heard us do it with each other. The story had the process has four steps. Number one, you get the story and you give it a title. And you know, if you are being encouraged to tell your story simply and clearly so that other people can hear you, you are gaining power. There is such power in being able to say what you need to say simply and clearly without tripping yourself up, without going into thickets of confusion and unnecessary detail. So helping each other to tell our story better is the first part of the process, and in some ways maybe even the most important. The second part of the process, as you heard Carol and me demonstrated, is we ask each other a few questions. Feelings, what are your first feelings around this or coming out of this dream? They're usually pretty good guidance to where to go with the dream or the experience. Is it good or bad? Is it urgent or not? And so on. Reality check. What do you recognize from this and the rest of your life? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Who is Kuan Yin? How about apples? What do you want to know? Is there something you'd like to know more about? And then we say to each other, very nicely, very politely, if it were my dream, if it were my life, if it were my story, and that gives us actually permission to say just about anything, as long as we remain nice and polite and don't lay our projections or our ideas on other person, people ex cathedra, as if they have to be correct. And then finally, we try to get each other to come up with an action plan. Eat an apple. And as you feel the apple juice going through you, Carol, feel yourself in the power of the dream and the power of the story, letting more of it unfold in your imagination, in your mind, in your inner senses. So that's what we were just doing. Now, Carol, I want to talk to you about the idea that, you know, dreaming, in many senses, listening to dreams of the night, learning to become a conscious dreamer, learning to travel the road of a dream back through a memory or a fragment from a dream, going to a space beyond the memory, lazing in that hypnagogic state between sleep and awake in horizontal meditation. These are all forms of everyday prayer. They're forms of everyday spirituality. They're ways of putting ourselves in touch with a deeper source. You know, sometimes when I think about all of this, Carol, and I look at the darkness in our world, which you are one of those trying to tame and to gentle and to change, I think that one of the very most important functions of dreaming is it is a voice of conscience. It's something that can restore our inner compass. And therefore, those who are closed to their dreams because they really don't want to subject themselves to any kind of course correction will not and not willing to adopt the perspective of the witness or observer self are really in trouble. And if they have any kind of influence in the world, they create such trouble for other people because they are lost to that inner voice of conscience that is sometimes a corrective to the delusions and the greed and the appetency of everyday life. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I love that image of it restoring the inner compass. It provides direction. I was just talking with a woman last night, and she was talking about in her dream, she was talking with a man, and behind the man stood her grandfather, from whom she had been somewhat estranged in life. But he was telling her that how he loved her, and that she didn't have to fear about relationships anymore, and that she could trust her own voice. And she said when she awakened from that, because this was the second time she had had a dream about her grandfather, and she was remembering her grandfather's history, that he had been estranged from his father and the difficulties they had had in their family, she said she realized that she had an ally on the other side, and that she saw this ally as connected with the one beyond all names at this point, and that he was bringing her love and reassurance. And she found the next day when she was talking with someone about work, she was confident. She was able to state her opinion, to hold her own voice, and to listen to other people. So it made a difference. And she said she feels, because of listening to her dream, she feels she has found her own deeper truth, and that not only that, she can trust it. So this was part of a dream group. We were rejoicing with her because it was just delightful.
Yes.
Her inner compass, she found it.
Absolutely cause for rejoicing, and that is such a watershed in someone's life, isn't it, when they dream that they've received a visitation or visited someone who is alive beyond death, often a beloved family member.
Right.
Maybe a family member with whom there are some problems in life, but all can be made well now. I mean, when this is happening consciously for the first time, it's a huge watershed in understanding, and it brings us experientially as human beings into grasping something that most humans have always believed, that there is something of us that survives physical death, call it soul, call it mind. Where does that belief come from? Of course, it's central to religions, but where does the personal human belief, the broad human belief in a life beyond life come from? I think when we go back through human history, the primary source of that belief, the primary direct source of that belief, is the experience of encountering people who are dead, who are still alive. And we see the effect of that, as in the case that you just gave us. When someone wakes up to the fact that, hey, there's life on the other side, there are things of importance beyond what we think is important in this world, and amongst those we have access to who have died to this world are people who are going to become beloved friends and counselors and everyday advisors once they've got their own story straight and are able to deal with us from a position of some kind of peace and grace. So that's a beautiful example of how that knowledge comes alive in a life and how it can really empower and direct that life to make better choices and stand your ground and so on.
And in this case, she feels that it's bringing healing to her lineage, both to,
yes,
to the other side and to hers, and it's such a gift. It opened up a whole discussion in the group. So, but that's the other benefit of sharing with other people, because then other,
yes,
people want to share their experiences and their dreams and feel encouraged.
It makes people sit up and pay attention, including the kind of man who's never made room for this kind of experience in his life. I've noticed over the years, Carol, that men will bring a dream into a conversation. I'm not talking about men in workshops. I'm talking about men in ordinary life, in any situation. The number one reason why something opens and they will talk about a dream is they've dreamed about their father since his death.
And oh, my goodness,
this is a watershed. I dreamed of Dad. What's going on here? Can I believe it or not? That's the thing that opens the mind, opens the head. We're talking to Carol Davis. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We need to take another break. When we come back, I want to ask Carol for her thoughts about one of the greatest epidemics in our time, which is the dream drought, the absence of dreams in modern lives. Well, we need to talk about that a bit. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. Thank you for dreaming with us. This is Robert Nosh. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. Our wonderful guest is Carol Davis. We're talking about dreaming as a direct line to the sacred, to the deeper life, to the understanding of what happens to soul or mind after death and other good things, and all the healing and power that can flow from opening to sources of guidance beyond the range of the everyday mind. But Carol, one of the problems in our society is that so many people have lost their connection with night dreams. We hear it all the time. I mean, the thoughtful ones don't say, "I don't dream." They say, "I don't remember my dreams." And sometimes the dream drought has been going on for decades or even much of a lifetime. When I look into this case by case, and you've had a lot of human experience in this field, I find that sometimes the reason the dreams have gone is that something bad happened in the life of that person early on, and there was no one to support them. And part of them went missing. Shamans would call this soul loss, and it might be the part of them that is a beautiful, bright dreamer and hasn't come back. So we have to sort of work at this in various ways. There are other reasons why people lose their dreams. Some people deliberately close the door because they'd rather not hear what the dreams are telling them. Maybe the dreams are embarrassing. Maybe the dreams are showing them things they'd rather not think about. And there's another big factor, which is that our society has not supported and rewarded the sharing of dreams. We haven't even known how to talk about them. We flail around. We get tongue-tied, or we get verbal diarrhea. That's why our lightning dream work technique is so important, because it rewards people for remembering a dream and telling a dream and makes it safe. But what do you do in your life, in your practice, in your counseling, where, with people who just seem to have lost their dreams for a long time? How do you try to help them?
Well, one of the reasons, too, an additional reason, is this kind of hurry sickness that we have in the world. You know, they talk about it on advertising. Hurry and go get this. Hurry up and get this. People wake up. They wake up to an alarm clock. They're in a hurry. They got to rush to work. And that makes that dream images just become ephemeral. They evaporate. So sometimes, for me, it's talking about it's slowing down. Sometimes I encourage people to lollygag in bed some morning and think about and daydream. This is great weather right now in the great Northeast to send people outside and spend some time leaning against a tree. Daydream. I encourage daydreaming and using the imagination. The trauma that some people experience, because I work with a lot of survivors of sexual abuse, does cut off the ability to really be open, because sometimes the dreams that are coming are the trauma. It's the nightmares. And people need to work with that, but also know that the sun still shines, that there's still light. And so sometimes it's just using the imagination in daily life sometimes helps people. And I've coached people with just a teensy little fragment, a sound of a voice. So you use bits of the lightning dream work. Excuse me. Even if a person's not ready to give it a title, or if they're not ready to make an exact action plan yet, I encourage people to draw. Draw an image. And I consider myself a terrible artist in terms of drawing. I'm a great artist in other ways. But so that's great, because I will never intimidate anybody. So I can say, look, this is what I do. And so I invite people to draw, to color. Can they think of the color of the dream, or the color of how they felt when they woke up? I tell people, did you have a song? Sometimes people are waking up and dismissing mere fragments that are rich. So they woke up with the song title or humming a line. Go look up the song title. And people get really excited sometimes about that. They think, oh, my gosh, I sang that song when I was in high school. I just had that happen with somebody saying, he was saying, wow, that was one of my favorite songs in high school. And it kind of triggered a little something for him to do a little more research and to pay a little more attention. I tell people that the desire alone to remember your dreams will increase their memory. And
well, these are all very simple, practical tools, and thank you. It's great.
Absolutely.
I particularly like the idea of encouraging people to be kind to fragments, because actually, even if they say, I've got nothing, they've usually got something, even as just the wispiest little
exactly.
thing. And if you can help them to play with that, we're off and running. I like your idea of leaning against a tree, daydreaming in the sense that you're using the word. I would also encourage people to look at the play of synchronicity, conscious that the world around them is speaking to them in the manner of a dream. I also like the idea, when it's appropriate, it might not be appropriate to take someone back into the cauldron, into the furnace of remembered trauma, but I like the idea of opening a time channel to a younger self by which we can support that younger self in her own time. I'm not talking now about dredging up the memories of trauma for the sake of reliving that pain. I'm talking about finding a way to go back to the child self, maybe around the time, but not necessarily in the most wretched scene, and try to play supporter and mentor and counselor to the child self in her own time. And sometimes the time tunnel opens with the remembrance of a dream from childhood or a scene from childhood that is not the trauma itself, but something that might take you to a gentler or more peaceful space in childhood, where you can begin to make that connection and you can talk to that younger self as the survivor, the one who made it through. How does that sound to you?
Exactly. More than once, but I'm thinking of one in particular when that time tunnel was able to be opened, and she wasn't able to make exactly a full connection at first, but we found out that she could send supplies to her younger self. So she began by sending a flashlight to her younger self, a warm blanket, a teddy bear. And then over time, she was able to make that deeper connection. But that was a wonderful way. It was absolutely real that she was connecting with that self and sending her supplies that were going to help her child self know that she was going to make it through.
I love it, sending supplies to the child self. That's so beautiful. I was deeply moved. I talked a bit about this in a recent course I led. We had 400 people in an online course called Dancing with the Bear about reclaiming the arts of dream healing. We sang the song for the bear, which you and I have sung many times, to call Great Mother Bear in as healer and protector. And people in that group, I mean, by the dozens, by the hundreds actually, were able to connect with the bear and then travel with Great Mother Bear back to the child in her own time and lend that courage and confidence that came from the embrace and the aegis and the protection of Great Mother Bear. So that's something we can do too. Yes, we can send a teddy bear, but perhaps we can even, if we make the connection ourselves in our own lives, perhaps we can even carry the aegis, the power, the healing of an ally like that. I mean, the child loves Great Mother Bear. She doesn't doubt, she trusts. She also likes the tiger and other allies. She probably likes Jesus and Kuan Yin too, but I noticed how immediately the presence of Great Mother Bear could be carried across time back to a child self in her own time and do worlds of good.
Absolutely. And then sometimes, you know, then the grown-up in waking life might find herself shopping and see just the right teddy bear.
Absolutely.
I've had people say, well, yeah, I bought it. You know, they'll come in and I've had people on retreat or sidle up to me, and men included, I can't believe it. You know what I did? I bought this little bear. One guy bought a bear, but it had a little baseball outfit thing on it. And he just kind of sat it in his room, and he liked the idea that this was for his boy self, but also he liked the idea that there was a bear that would heal him.
I was just reaching around for a teddy bear and thinking, there isn't one on my desk, but on the other hand, right in front of my desk, you know this, Carol, a black bear that is 4 feet long and 3 feet high. So I'm not bereft. And there are many other bears. They're not as cuddly as the big black bear. But I guess you could say I've got a pretty big teddy bear in my study and other bears to play with. And it all does some good. And it keeps the child self close to that sense of joy and imagination, right? So to the colors that you mentioned. We're talking to Carol Davis. We'll be back for our last 8-minute segment after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Robert Moss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. My guest is Carol Davis. Carol, I happen to know you're going to Italy in the near future on a very interesting road of dreams that involves St. Clair, about whom I don't know very much, but I know that you've been dreaming your way there. So talk to us a little bit about the road of dreams taking you to Italy and the dreams of a Catholic saint.
Okay. About 3 years ago, I was invited to preach in a Franciscan setting. I'm a Dominican sister. And I was invited to preach at a prayer service about St. Clair. And I had this little dream. And in my dream, I was going for a walk along a dirt road, simple day, sunshiny day, blue sky, lovely clouds, and I'm walking along, and I'm holding St. Dominic's hand. He's the founder of the Dominican Order. And up ahead, there's a woman, and that woman turned out to be St. Clair. And so he put my hand in Clair's hand and just sent me off for a walk. That was the sum total of the dream that I had. And so that was 3 years ago, and I gave the presentation at the friary with the Franciscans, and it was good. And I felt closer to Clair, and I did a little research on St. Clair. Fast forward 3 years, there's a big, it's not a workshop, it's a pilgrimage that's going to be taking place in Italy, and I'm going to be part of that now. But one of the friars asked me, did I want to come? And I really didn't see my way in the finances. I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. And I went to sleep. I don't know what I dreamed that night, to be honest with you. I just know that I awakened with this feeling and said, I'm supposed to go. I want to go. And it all worked out within 24 hours. Even the finances worked out in an amazing way within 24 hours. And then later I thought, oh, my goodness, 3 years ago, St. Dominic. Dominic put my hand in Claire's, and now I'm going to be walking the land where Claire of Assisi walked. When that decision came through and I was going to go, I had one more dream about Claire. Or Claire visited me in the dream, and Claire handed me a tiny white flower. And I had no idea what this could be. She didn't say anything. I awakened with it. Talk about wanting to know more. Okay, what's this white flower? I told Franciscan friends. I did online searches. I just couldn't seem to find anything. And then as part of the way that I'm going on this trip is that I'm working for it, I gave a presentation to the pilgrims, the 35 people who are going to go on this journey. And I was doing some more research, and lo and behold, I found that in the 13th century, Claire died in 1253. She, shortly after her death, Bonaventure was writing a story about Francis of Assisi, and he made a comment about Claire, and he called Claire a bright white flower, and that she brought light to the world. And I said, that's it. For me, that was a confirmation that indeed Claire did visit me in my dream, and that this is the right thing. So I'm entering into an adventure that is a bigger picture, I think, than I even know at this moment, except that Claire is my newfound friend for the last 3 years, and she came to me through the dreams.
I love the image of Dominic putting your hand in Claire's. Do we know anything about Claire's own life as a dreamer? Are there any reports about her dreams and visions?
Well, we know, I couldn't find things so much about her dreams per se, but she does talk about images. She talks about the medieval mirror, for example, was a person couldn't see their exact reflection in it. It was distorted. But so she, because she was so much a follower of Christ, said to look in the mirror of the Christ and you would find yourself. And when you saw that reflection, you would, and she uses these words, she says, transform yourself. She doesn't say you will become transformed or Christ will do this to you. She says transform yourself. Look in the mirror and transform yourself. So she uses lots of images. Her mother did not have exactly a dream, but had a visitation, a vision, if you will. When she was pregnant with Claire, she was worried about losing the baby, and she went to church, and she had an auditory experience and a sense of the presence of the divine, who says to her that she would give birth to one who would be a clear light. And so hence they named her Claire. So they're dreaming in her history in that way. But I love the fact that she cared deeply about people, and that her sense was this. I love this mirror image because it is she uses the images in her prayer.
I'm glad the road has opened for you to meet this dream friend. You're dreaming with the saint, Carol. This is splendid. And just very briefly, in relation to the vision of Claire's mother, we're in a very important area in terms of the history of dreaming in relation to religion, which is the dream of Annunciation. And this, in human terms, in the lives of individual families, is so important, because families will dream the identity and character of children who are coming through. You and I have both seen many examples of that. The history of religion is absolutely essential, isn't it? I mean, without dreams and visions, Mary and Joseph wouldn't necessarily have understood what was happening. That's one of the big stories of the Bible. Without a dream, the mother of the Buddha, her dream
elephant that came inside her and was born neatly and cleanly in a non-ordinary way, they wouldn't have known what kind of being was coming there. We see it again and again. And our friend Gabrielle is, of course, the angel of the Annunciation as well as the angel of dreams. This could go on for a long time, Carol, but you know what? We're running out of TikTok time. So we have to take another break, and then we'll be back just for last thought and to thank you. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss. Our guest today is Carol Davis.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You've been listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our guest was Carol Davis. We're talking about divine dreaming and how dreaming can be divine. Carol, do you have any last brief thought or word of encouragement for people in relation to dreaming and direct experience of the sacred?
I think I just want to say to people, open your heart. You know, open your heart and let that love that's in there flow. And it is inevitable, if you listen to your heart, that you will find your way through your imagination, through the images, through the dreamings, and you will be filled with wonder.
Beautiful. Essential things are always very simple, aren't they? Thank you for the simplicity and clarity of that last message, and for the clarity and beauty of your dreaming and your presence in the world, Carol. So, everybody, well, from now until next time, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.